Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And good morning. This is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in for Dr. John Coben this morning. It is indeed a great privilege, and it's just a blessing for me to be able to do this. Now, I'm going to ask all you pastors out there, those of you that are up early this morning, most of you are not, I know, but in any event, if you're listening this morning, I'm going to challenge you to consider seriously supporting the Christian Worldview show. More correctly would be to support the Tyranny Response Network. This is a ministry, and it's geared towards informing especially Christians, but all Americans really, as to what rights we might have according to the Constitution, and how our rights are being taken away, and what we can do to regain those rights and retain them. So hopefully we'll do this program justice while Dr. Coben is gone, but he'll be back next week, towards the end of next week, I believe it is, that he'll be back. And in the meantime, we'll be doing some, we'll be looking at some issues here, some particular articles that we brought with us and so forth. But before we get into all that, let me just tell you a little bit about what we're going to be, as an announcement or as advertisement. Again, I just mentioned about the, maybe a lot of you pastors out there have been listening to the program, and, well, it's stirred you up. It's challenged your thinking. Well, that's what it's meant to do. I know when I first tuned into the program, this has been about, about 6 weeks ago, and we tuned into it, and we were just excited about it because we have a class, our adult Sunday school class is called the Christian Worldview, oddly enough, Sunday school class, and that's our adult Sunday school class. And so basically what we do is that we take issues, articles, topics, and so forth that impact the Christian community and discuss those things. We have divided that in our own particular Sunday school class into three different categories. The first category would be the Christian worldview as far as the political scene or government, let's say political slash government. The next category would be the social slash cultural category, and then the third one would be the ecclesiastical category. So there's different things that we talk about during the Sunday school class, and but we do this in order for us to be informed and gain the knowledge that we need to have, and because Hosea, for example, Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, which happens to be our theme verse for our Sunday school class, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Well, as we go through here and explain somewhat as to what we're doing, then the Lord here says that his people, now in this case, of course, he's referring to the children of Israel, but we are his people as the Church of Jesus Christ now, and we too are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. In other words, what he's saying is that we're being destroyed because of our ignorance. How many of us were so excited this past election, for example, about reelecting George W. Bush, the great Christian president that we have? Now, I'm not saying that he isn't a Christian president. I mean, he may be a Christian, but from all indications and all testimonies that I've heard him give in different places, I, personally speaking, and knowing what I know about the Bible, I'm not so sure he is, but he may be, and he's just totally ignorant. But we have no excuse of being ignorant. And so how many of us were so excited this past election when we voted for our particular candidate, and most of us were voting for George W. Bush because we felt like this is the best man for the job, he's the lesser of two evils, and so forth and so on. But not realizing that, for example, George W. Bush in his first administration, or his first the first 4 years, he actually appointed more homosexuals to offices of authority, positions of authority, than any president in the past. That's in the history of the United States. Homosexuals are now occupying places of authority in our government. Now, I suppose they're going to be trying to push their particular agenda, wouldn't you think? I know that if I was in a particular office in government, and as a Christian, of course I would be trying to push my agenda, our Christian values. Well, we have done that. We have put him back, and you could see this excitement throughout the United States, and all kinds of quote Christian leaders trying to take credit for getting George Bush back into office. And so the reason these things have happened is because we're ignorant of the fact of what he stands for. Now, again, when we, my wife and I and my family, we lived in Texas for a while, and we were involved in his campaign for re-election as governor of Texas. And at the time, of course, I didn't realize all those things. I, too, was ignorant. And so I was being deceived, in a sense, because I didn't know what he stood for. It wasn't until after he became president and I began to see what he was doing, putting these folks in these positions and doing the kinds of things that he was promoting, I began to realize, no, this is not somebody that I would want to see back in office. And, of course, I didn't want to see a Democrat back in there. So we finally decided that we were going to switch parties, and we joined the Constitution Party ourselves. And we voted for Michael Peruca. Personally speaking, I think that was the best man for the job. Well, he didn't get elected, but when I stand before the Lord one day, I'm going to say I voted for the man that stood for biblical principles. And whether he wins or not, well, the results belong unto the Lord. So, but in any event, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then it says, but because thou hast rejected knowledge. We're not just talking about, the Bible is not just talking about being ignorant, but it's talking about willful ignorance. So many times we talk to people about this situation as far as the re-election and so forth, and talk to other Christians about that, and boy, we were just castigated and ignored and so forth. Well, that's willful ignorance. So there's a lot of things that we're going to have to be, as far as Christians, having to give an account to the Lord for. And so this is one of the reasons, or the main reason, why I began to do this class. And this was about 3 years ago that we started our Christian Worldview class. Because I realized that the big majority of Christians, we are just plain ignorant when it comes to things in the government, the social cultural issues, and even ecclesiastical things. There's so many things that are being pawned off as Christian today that truly are not Christian. And so when we begin this class, then we begin to touch on those issues, and as time wore on, we begin to realize we need to hurry up and get knowledgeable about these things. We're totally ignorant about the Constitution, and of course, not to mention, we're totally ignorant about the Word of God. Most of us really don't know how to live according to biblical principles. Oh, yeah, we listen to James Dobson, and we talk to, or we listen to some of these other radio personalities, and we begin to apply those particular principles. But when it comes to God's principles, we're not really doing the job. And so we decided, or I decided as a pastor, that we as a church needed to really get serious about informing ourselves in all these matters, in all these three different categories. Well, basically, that's what motivated us to do that. And so what we're doing now is basically the same sort of thing. And when we come back, I'll tell you something else we're getting ready to implement at our church. And some of you might be interested in that, and we'll give you an opportunity to be involved in that as well. Well, it's time for our first break, so we'll be back in just a minute.
www.jonpros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state, and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations, overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back, and this is Pastor Tony Romo from South Point Baptist Church. And if you're interested in what I was talking about here earlier about our Christian Worldview Sunday School class, you can give us a call. Our number is 295-0460. That's our church number, or my home number, actually, 295-0460. And you can talk to me about that. If you're interested in being involved in this type of Sunday school class that basically is formatted the same sort of way that this program is. Also, I would like to tell you about, on April the 4th, we're going to start the Institute on the Constitution. The law offices of Peruca and Peruca, I think they're in Maryland, have this particular program that is called the Institute on the Constitution, which is basically we study the Constitution. And as Christians, like I said earlier, is that we don't know what our rights are, what have been our inalienable rights. And so these are things that we're going to be discussing during that time. It's about a 12-week, I believe it's a 12-week study. And what we're going to be doing is we'll take one class. The first class will be April the 4th, which is a Monday. And then every Monday after that, unless there's something that might get in the way, some sort of a holiday or something, and we can bump it. But either way, if you're interested in that, then you can give us a call, and we'll give you all the details about that. The number again is 295-0460. Now let me give you the number here, so if some of you may want to get on the air and discuss some particular issue that maybe we are going to be discussing, or maybe something that you heard and you want to share with the rest of us, the number here at the studio is 864, area code 864, and the number is 201-6955. 201-6955. Now, that number will be changing shortly, next week sometime or the week after, but in any event, this is still the number. You can call us at this number, and we'll put you on the air, and you can bring your own little soapbox and discuss with us some issues that are bothering you. Now, one of the other things, too, that I wanted to mention, I've got my Citizen's Rule Book, which is a constitution, and what I'm doing here is I'm going to read something to you. It says, "All laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void." That was a decision made or done in 1803 in the case of Marbury versus Madison. Now, all laws which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. So, when we discuss these issues and when we talk about all these different laws that have been written, and there's all types of laws, you know, all these gun laws, for example, I heard not too long ago that we had something like 70,000 gun laws throughout the United States. 70,000? Well, in my little constitution here in page number 50, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Where does the 70,000 different gun laws come into effect then? Well, those are things that we need to realize that if these gun laws then are repugnant towards the Constitution, they're null and void. Now, what are we promoting our rebellion and so forth? Not yet. Not yet. But we have the freedom. The Constitution was written to protect our freedoms, not the freedoms or the power of the government, but the freedom of the people. And so these are things that we want to make sure that all of us here in Greenville especially, but throughout the whole country, throughout the world actually, because this broadcast here will through the webcast will reach throughout the whole world. As a matter of fact, I sent off a bunch of emails last night letting people know that this program was going to be on, I was going to be hosting it. Sent emails to England, all over the United States, Mexico, all different areas. So some folks right now are still asleep, so I doubt seriously that they would get up early enough to listen to the program. But we don't know. West Coast, there's a lot of folks we know on the West Coast, folks in Colorado. And if you folks are listening in, you ought to go ahead and spend a dime or two and call in. Call in the program. Area code is 864. The number is 201-6955. All right, well, let's go on to our first article I want to read here to you. This article, I took this article out of the WorldNet Daily, and it was yesterday, March the 9th, 2005. It says, Colorado to dump Christian professor. Popular award winner claims political religious reasons. While University of Colorado officials defend controversial professor Ward Churchill in the name of free speech, an evangelical Christian professor at the school claims he's about to be dismissed for religious or political reasons. Professor Phil Mitchell, who has a doctorate in American social history from the university, says he recently was informed his contract would not be renewed after this year because his teaching was not up to department standards, according to Denver Post columnist David Harsanyi, or something like that. Mitchell, winner in 1998 of the prestigious SOAR Award for Teachers of the Year, told a columnist he has wondered how long he would last. I've had enough. I'm clearly being closed out for political or religious reasons, Mitchell says. I'm one of the top-rated professors in the history of the department. A colleague, William Way, described by Harsanyi as hardly a conservative, said Phil is a great person, a great teacher, and highly regarded by his students. Harsanyi said Mitchell, who has taught at the Hallett Diversity Program for 24 straight semesters, upset the head of the department by presenting a diverse opinion. After quoting respected black intellectual Thomas Sowell in a discussion about affirmative action, Mitchell was berated as a racist. That would have come as no surprise to my black children, said Mitchell. That would have come as a surprise to my black children, said Mitchell, who has 9 children, 2 of them adopted African Americans. Then, said Harsanyi, the professor used a book on liberal Protestantism in the late 19th century. Harsanyi writes, so repulsed by the word God was one student, she complained and the department chair fired him without a meeting. The columnist points out that unlike the Churchill case, there was no protest by faculty and students. Mitchell later was reinstated, Harsanyi said, but never was able to teach in the history department again. People say liberals run the university. I wish they did, Mitchell told the Denver columnist. Most liberals understand the need for intellectual diversity. It's the radical left that kills you. Mitchell said he has stuck it out this long to create enthusiasm and love for history. I am successful at that. I love the classroom and I love my students. Controversy erupted around Churchill last month when one of his essays made it into the national spotlight. Written shortly after the September the 11th attacks, it described the thousands of American citizens who died in the World Trade Center inferno as Little Eichmanns, a reference to notorious Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann, who were perpetrating perpetuating, America's mighty engine of profit. They were destroyed, he added, thanks to the gallant sacrifices of combat teams that successfully targeted the World Trade Center towers and the Pentagon. Churchill resigned his position as head of Colorado University Ethics Studies Program, but kept his $96,000 per year teaching post. He steadfastly has refused to apologize for his comments. He's also come under attack or fire for claiming an American Indian heritage, training terrorists, and meeting with Libya's Muammar Gaddafi in the 1980s when the United States had banned travel there. In addition, he's accused of writing essays with passages almost identical to those of other authors and of copying an original art piece and claiming it as his own. The University of Colorado Regents is probing whether Churchill has violated tenure and expects to announce a decision this month. Now, can you imagine? First of all, this Christian professor was fired immediately after one complaint by one student because he used the word God. Now, this other fellow, this Churchill, I mean, he's been going on with this thing how long? 2 months now or longer? And he's still there. He's still earning his $96,000 per year. Yes, this other man, the Christian professor, was reinstated, but he will not be, his contract will not be renewed. So, we'll come back and comment some more on that. Right now, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And welcome back. This is Pastor Tony Romo from South Point Baptist Church, sitting in for Dr. John Coben today and tomorrow. Well, going back to our story here, the article we just read, Colorado to dump Christian professor. They've agonized over what to do with this Churchill fellow, this one fellow that claimed to be an American Indian, and now even AIM, the American Indian Movement, has said that, they've pretty much disassociated themselves with him because of the claims that he made, and they said that he's just a white man posing as an Indian. Well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know, because there's still, I guess, some investigation going on. But the idea that there's not one moment of agonizing over this Christian professor because he used the word God, and this one particular student complained, was fired, but reinstated, then told recently that he will not have his contract renewed. Well, this is terrible. But what do we expect, really, when you think about that? You know, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." I find today, especially in the political scene, is that many Christians, well, not just the political scene, but socially also, that many Christians are just trying as hard as they can to be liked, be loved, be accepted. The Lord has already told us that we're going to be hated of all men for his name's sake. Luke 6:22 also, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Now, this man here is being persecuted. Absolutely, he is. But we need to recognize as Christians that when you take a stand, and when you are living your Christian life out, live it out in your life, whether it's in the school, or whether it's at home, or whether it's in church or whatever it might be, you've got the kind of testimony that reflects on the righteousness of God, then these kinds of things will be occurring. And we don't need to be chasing after the world to get them to like us. This man here is being persecuted. You might want to pray for this fellow. But the reason he is because of who he represents. So many of the things that we as Christians are looking to do. I know that we've talked about different types of programs in our church as to how we can get things moving along in our church. And many people have brought up all these purpose-driven things and so forth. Well, not in our church they haven't, but other folks have asked me about using purpose-driven material. And I said, no, I can't do that because that goes contrary, in my opinion, to what God's Word teaches. And so With Christianity and with Christians, a lot of the times we are being impacted by the world and we begin to do those things that the world desires for us. Well, let me take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer.
He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And welcome back. This is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in for Dr. John Coben. He'll be gone for a week or so. And in the meantime, we'll do our very best to keep this thing going the way he would like it. And hopefully we'll do it a little bit of justice. Well, we just finished reading an article about the Colorado University dumping a Christian professor at the end of this year. He'll not have his contract renewed because of some complaints. But yet, this other fellow will be, I don't know how long he's going to be there, but he will still be collecting his $96,000 a year, even though he maybe should have been thrown out even before this. Anyway, in the meantime, let me read this other article to you. And I'm going to, again, I want to challenge you to give us a call if you have some additional comments or some questions. I'm not going to guarantee that I can answer those questions, but if I can't answer them, I'll be back on the air tomorrow and address it then if I don't have the answer then or today. But in the meantime, you may want to call just to make a comment or just to say, attaboy, whichever. Here we go. Here's the next article. It says, the IRS should collect taxes, not be the speech police. Now, this is an article written by Jay Sekula. He is the chief counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. Now, personally, I don't agree with a lot of the things that these guys do off and on, but they're strictly legally based kind of a organization, so they have to pretty much go by the letter of the law if they're going to have any impact at all. But in any event, it says, the IRS should collect taxes, not be the speech police. When the Internal Revenue Service was established, it had one purpose, to collect revenue for the general treasury. Over the past 50 years, that role has expanded and to the chagrin of many people of faith. The IRS has become the speech police, holding a heavy hand over nonprofit organizations, including churches, threatening to remove their tax-exempt status if they participate in political activity. How did the IRS get this special power? In 1954, then-Senator Lyndon B. Johnson sought political retribution against an opponent who was assisted in his campaign by two nonprofit organizations. LBJ pushed a little-known amendment that became law that barred tax-exempt groups, including churches, from participating in political activity. The penalty? Loss of tax-exempt status. The special power given to the IRS not only stifles the First Amendment rights of pastors and churches, but the IRS has been selective and biased in its enforcement. The law is flawed, misplaced, and a disaster. The IRS often ignores political involvement from liberals and target conservative churches and ministers like the church at Pierce Creek in New York, and had its tax-exempt status revoked after the pastors placed newspaper ads in 1992 calling attention to then-presidential candidate Bill Clinton's position on critical moral issues like abortion and sexual abstinence outside of marriage. Religious leaders not only have a constitutional right to address the moral issues of the day, many believe they have a responsibility to do so, and I would say amen to that, especially in the context of political campaigns. And pastors should have the ability to speak out from the pulpit and support or oppose a political candidate based on where the candidate stands on the issues. Unfortunately, this is not permissible now. Under current IRS regulations, pastors and churches cannot endorse or oppose a candidate for political office, but they can and should speak out from the pulpit on issues that matter most that matter most, issues that are being debated this political season, issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, and the war on terrorism. Under federal campaign finance laws and state laws, pastors and churches can also sponsor voter registration drives, sponsor candidate forums and debates, even open their doors for political events, including the use of their facilities as polling places on election day. The IRS has no business muzzling pastors. That's why legislation like the Houses of Worship Free Speech Restoration Act, sponsored by Representative Walter B. Jones, Republican from North Carolina, is so important. The legislation would protect the constitutional rights of pastors and put an end to the reign of the IRS as speech police. The country has a rich and welcome history of turning to churches and houses of worship during the debate of the great moral issues of the day. In the early days, the election sermon was common. Pastors acknowledging our religious heritage and addressing the key issues of their day. During the Revolutionary era, pastors spoke out from the pulpit encouraging dissent and calling for freedom. The prelude to the birth of our country, a country that cherishes free speech. As the law stands, pastors must exercise caution so as not to run afoul of the IRS regulation, putting their tax-exempt status at risk. But there is much they can do, and perhaps in the future will be able to participate fully in the political process, including the endorsement of opposition of candidates. During these challenging times, free speech is more important than ever, especially in the pulpit. Now, this article written by Jay Sekulow again just emphasizes the very nature of what we have muzzling the pulpits today. So many folks are trying to get this thing changed. How did it get started? Well, in 1954, Senator Lyndon B. Johnson decided he was going to muzzle some opposition, who these folks happen to be nonprofit pastors or whatever they may have been. And he passed through this particular rider on a particular law. And now this has been used against the churches. It's been over 50 years now. It was a political move, and yet we have pastors trying to get us to submit ourselves to all these kinds of things. And if we don't want any trouble with the IRS, well, we just do it. But in fact, this whole thing got started as a political move by a very aggressive Lyndon B. Johnson when he was senator. And of course, we know he became president later and so forth. Well, when these types of things are going on, most people that I've talked to, by the way, when I found out, again, because of my ignorance, I began to study some things and try to figure out why we've gotten, how we've gotten to where we've gotten, and why the pulpits have been muzzled. And up until 1954, pastors could get up there and preach against certain types of things. I mean, even the founding fathers, according to what he's saying here, there was, in the early days, the election sermon was common. There's also what was called the Black Brigade. Some of you may know all about that, but these were pastors that would get up there to preach, and King George was just, he feared them. He feared them because these men were men of conviction, and these folks would get up there and preach, and they would apply that, the biblical principles that they were preaching, to their everyday life and to the responsibilities as an individual and a participant here in our republic. And so now we get to this point in 1954 where Senator Lyndon B. Johnson decides he's going to try to do away with his opponents, and he attaches this little rider on a little-known amendment that now has been dogging the pulpits for 50 years. It's time to change that stuff, y'all. And the thing is about that, though, if we do change it, we need to be extremely careful that we read these bills. If we're going to have a restoration bill for the free speech, we need to make sure that we read these things, and there's not going to be some kind of clause in there that's going to put some new kind of a problem into our ministries. Well, we're going to take another break here. We'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back. This morning, this is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in for Dr. John Coben. We'd like to get some participation on your part. You can call in. Our number here in Greenville. If you're calling in from out the Greenville area, you'll have to dial 864, and the number is 201-6955. Maybe some of you folks out there in Colorado are finally up and running, and you're listening in, and you'd like to call in and make some sort of comment. I doubt the California folks are up yet. And maybe some folks from Texas. That's where I'm originally from. That's the place where all this stuff we've been reading about. I love Texas. It's our home stomping grounds. It's the Holy Land, whatever you want to say. But these things that we just read, Lyndon B. Johnson, oh, boy, from Texas. Oh, boy. George W. Bush, yep, from Texas. I have nothing to do with it, folks. I had nothing to do with that. But I do apologize for supporting George W. Bush ignorantly all those years up until about 5 years ago. I guess it was 1 year into his first 4 years, and then I realized what was going on was not what I was thinking it was. And so as time wore on, we began to study different types of things. We knew we couldn't be Democrats. We couldn't vote for Democrats. No way. And we were told all the time that the Republican Party was the party of values and morals and so forth. And, I tell you what, George W. Bush has more meetings with the log cabin Republicans than he ever would with Christians. But yet we go on happily along our way, voting him in again, and supporting him and saying, isn't it wonderful that we have this righteous president, the most righteous individual since Ronald Reagan, I've heard some say. Well, I don't mean to just bash on, but I just feel very deceived. Okay, let's put it that way. Many of us in our church, as we discuss these things, we all have come to the point to where we've been seriously deceived. But at least we have the courage to repent and get back and begin to study up on what this is all about. We personally, I know Dr. John Coben is in the Libertarian Party, and but we are the Constitution Party. Chose to be a part of that because of what their positions are on all these issues, and as we have, we've met more folks just like us. It's a tremendous thing when you come into a group of people of like mind, like precious faith, and boy, I'll tell you what, it's encouraging. It's encouraging because after a while, as you're out there, you start thinking, boy, am I the only one that feels this way? Am I the only one that sees what's going on? And you feel like maybe there's just no hope. But instead, we begin to study and figure out what was going on. And so we started this Christian worldview class in our Sunday school, their church. We've been doing it for 3 years, a little over 3 years now. And everyone's all excited about it. Everyone participates. We bring a number of articles into our Sunday school class. We apply them biblically. We bounce this thing around for a little bit just to make ourselves inform ourselves over the things that are happening here in America, throughout the country, really, and throughout the world, but especially here in this country. And so as we do that, we're more and more confident that what we're doing is the right thing. There's many people, again, that rattle off certain scriptures to try to justify their inactivity, their passivity, when in fact we need to be active in these things. As Christians and as citizens of this country, we're obligated. As Christian citizens, we're obligated to be a participant in this whole process that we call the democratic process or whatever other titles they put on it. We're not talking about just voting now, okay? Voting is part of it, or the culmination of your activities or your participation, but it's not just voting. We need to get out there and inform people about what's going on. We need to try to influence Christians to do things biblically and not just show up for church. That's all we do. We show up for church, and then when it's time to vote, we show up to vote. But in the meantime, in between, we do absolutely nothing to impact this country or our particular community. So I'm going to challenge you to do that. I want you to be a part of this thing. It's we've gone for too long to be maligned as Christians. It's a popular thing anymore. You can't say anything about the homosexuals anymore. You can't say anything about all these other organizations that are out there damaging this country. But it's really cool now, though, to be able to just malign Christians and undermine everything that we do. And I know that there's no one to blame but us, because we have fallen asleep at the wheel. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee. And so we have been willfully ignorant of all these things, not only God's word, primarily God's word, absolutely, but everything else we do from there is based on that, and we have really, really fallen short. And so, anyway, I'll encourage you to do that. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back.
Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
The law of non-contradiction. The same thing cannot at the same time both belong and not belong to the same object and in the same respect. Aristotle.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web,
You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Fear to express publicly any political view or even opinions about moral issues such as abortion because these may be perceived as political. This climate of fear, which is exactly what the First Amendment was created to prevent, is caused by uncertainty about what is or is not permissible for a clergy to say without having the church's tax-exempt status taken away. As things stand now, the guidelines are so unclear that it's just up to the discretion of IRS bureaucrats to decide who is in violation. There is evidence that these rulings by the IRS are selectively and unfairly enforced, targeting those who express conservative views while ignoring others whose liberal views are favored. Congressman Crane's Bright Line Act of 2001, H.R. 2931, and Congressman Jones' House of Worship Political Speech Protection Act, H.R. 2357, would help restore the First Amendment rights to American churches and synagogues. America has a long history of free speech in her houses of worship, beginning with Revolutionary War-era preachers who spoke out for freedom and encouraged the founding of the new country. It was largely in the churches where the abolitionist movement began. As religious people stirred up the conscience of the nation about the evils of slavery. In the first half of the 20th century, clergymen spoke out fearlessly on many social issues, and they warned of the dangers of murderous fascism and communism. The era of free speech came to an ignoble end in 1954 when Senator Lyndon Johnson inserted the ban on political speech as a little-noticed floor amendment to another bill, a rider, in other words. There were no hearings on this amendment, nor does the congressional record indicate that any explanation was ever given for this ban. There was a behind-the-scenes explanation, though. Johnson was being criticized by a conservative pastor back in Texas. To silence his critic, Johnson slipped in a law that clearly violates the spirit of the Constitution. It's true that the law was ignored when Martin Luther King and other black pastors led peaceful civil rights demonstrations in the 1960s. If it had been strictly enforced, Dr. King and other church leaders could have been silenced. In fact, the law was largely ignored until the early 1990s when Democrats realized they could follow the examples of LBJ and use it against political opponents. During Bill Clinton's 1992 presidential campaign, the church at Pierce Creek in Conklin, New York, sponsored a newspaper ad that criticized Clinton for his stand on abortion. In retaliation, the church had its tax-exempt status revoked. Yet when First Bill Clinton, and then Al Gore campaign and churches, there was hardly a word said from the IRS officials. Preacher and former Democratic Congressman Floyd Flake invited candidate Gore to speak at his Allen AME church in Queens, New York. From behind the pulpit, Flake told the congregation, "This should be the next president of the United States." Was Reverend Flake or his church punished in any way? Well, he did get a caution, quote-unquote, from the IRS, but that was all. While this was a clear violation of the law, the actual wording of the tax code is so vague that IRS officials may interpret it any way they please. It is not necessary to name a candidate or political party to get in trouble. All that is necessary is that the IRS finds a given communication contains some relatively clear directive that enables the recipient to know the organization's position on a specific candidate or state of candidates or slate of candidates. In other words, suppose a certain candidate is well known to be in favor of unlimited abortion, homosexual marriage, or anti-Semitism. If a pastor in an election year chooses to address such moral issues, is that an implicit rejection of the candidate and therefore a political statement? It can be, if the IRS so decides. Religious organizations deserve the clarity of knowing exactly what political activity is acceptable and allowed by law. It should not be left up to some bureaucrat to interpret the law and determine if a religious institution is in violation. Those losing their tax-exempt status, we believe that either the Crane or the Jones bill will remove confusion from the sanctioned and unsanctioned activities by establishing a clear set of standards and bringing proper enforcement. It is important that congressmen hear from their constituents concerning their critical issue of freedom of speech. The law created by one senator more than 30 years ago to help him find or keep his office should not become codified law, further destroying the intent of our founding fathers. Now, this additional article clarifying some things here, but again, like I said earlier, when this bill comes through, now I don't know what the status of it is at this particular time, but we need to check with our senators and our representatives and make absolutely sure that these folks read these bills. Most of these folks, well, I think it was just one person. I think Ron Paul, Republican from Texas, was the only one that actually read the Patriot Act, I believe it was, or maybe the second one. I'm not sure which one. But most of these folks don't read these bills. They wheel and deal and make concessions and so forth. You vote for my bill, I'll vote for yours. You vote for my bridge, I'll vote for your tunnel. And on they go. And all they're doing is using our money to keep themselves in a position of power. And this is what Lyndon Johnson did. He wanted no opposition from anyone. So he decided, well, I'll take care of that. So he came up with this little rider that he inserted in this other bill. And since 1954, we've been under this oppression. And now we hear all these folks writing books about it, writing articles about it, saying different things about how we need to be obeying the law and make sure that we don't break the law here, break the law there. And all in all, it was just plain and simple a political move by LBJ. Well, let me take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And welcome back. This is not Dr. John Coben. This is Pastor Tony Romo, and I'm the pastor of South Point Baptist Church in Pelzer, South Carolina. And again, let me plug our Institute on the Constitution, which will be starting on April the 4th, 2005. April the 4th. So we've got a few weeks left yet, but we need a lot of time to get these things organized. If you want to be part of this now, it's going to take about a 12 weeks altogether to get through the entire Institute on the Constitution. We've decided to have it on a Monday, because this way we would not be interfering with the midweek services of other churches. So we'll give other pastors an opportunity to come and participate in this and be part of this class. Also, people from other churches, you can come, and you need to call us and let us know that you're intending to do that. You can call me at 295-0460. You call me there at that number, let me know. We'll go ahead and put you on the list that you're going to be participating. Our entire church, as far as I know, will be participating. There will be a nursery provided, and also we'll have refreshments, coffee, drinks, whatever. But refreshments of all sorts, except alcoholic beverages. Of course, we're not going to have that. We're teetotalers, but we'll have refreshments. And the entire class, per class rather, would probably run anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half, depending on how long we want to ask questions after each class. But this is something that we desperately need to do. Most of us as Christians, most Americans, not just Christians, but most Americans, don't have any idea what the Constitution is all about. We need to get back and find out what that's all about. Let's learn about the Constitution for the next 12 weeks, starting on April the 4th. All right? Everything else that you do beyond that, once you go through this class, you'll have a better understanding, and you'll be able to impact other people. And also, like I mentioned, that if these other folks from other churches decide they want to come and other pastors come, they also have an opportunity then to go ahead and order this particular study and implement it in their particular church. So we're trying to make it as easy as we can. There's not going to be any cost. If there is, I better correct myself. If there is any cost, it won't be hardly anything. You probably spend more money on coffee per week than you would on this particular class. But in any event, it's the Institute of the Constitution. And I've read some things out of this Citizens Rule book that we have. I have a bag full of these in our pulpit. And all our members from our church have a copy of this. And I'm always encouraging them to read the Constitution, read the amendments, read the jury rights, the law of the land, and all these other different things. It's a pretty lengthy book. And like I've told our church, I said, you know, this is really pretty cheap education. 60 pages of this little booklet, and you can get pretty educated, and it's only $1, I think, is what I paid for these, $1 each. So you come to our Institute of the Constitution, and that'll be part of what you'll get as well. You'll get one of these Citizens Rule books, and you can keep that like I do. I keep that in my planner. I carry that in my planner, and I carry my New Testament with me. So I've got both my constitutions, my spiritual constitution and my citizen constitution here on this earth. And as we do that, then we'll become more aware of what our rights really are and how some of these laws that have been created through the years are really unconstitutional. They have no business being there, yet we don't challenge them. I think we have the wrong impression that as Christians, we're supposed to just follow along. Just follow along. Just like some of you country folks would know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, you know, cows just follow each other along. They've got this little cow trail. They're not all spread out. They're just following each other along. Wherever it ends up, that's fine with them. It doesn't matter. As long as got their belly filled. And sometimes that's the way we are. Now, before I go into this next article, I'd like to encourage you again to give us a call. 201-6955. That's 864 area code. 201-6955. And you have a chance to comment. You've got about 25 minutes left in the program thereabouts, and you still have a chance to call in and make some comments, make some positions known as to where you stand on these particular things that we've talked about. I'd like to read another article here. This was done February the 15th, and I took this one out of News with Views, which is one of the ones that I always go and look at. This story is done by, Bill Benson. Now, any of you have been keeping up this kind of stuff already, the name Bill Benson sounds familiar to you. But let me read this, and hopefully I can get to it before the next break. If not, I'll come back and finish it. All right. Bill Benson is a former revenue collector for the state of Illinois. Back in 1984, Benson was commissioned to conduct an investigation into the ratification of the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Benson traveled to all 48 states which had been admitted to the Union at the time of the ratification of this amendment in 1913. He spent close to a year in the bowels of these states or state archives collecting official documents. What Benson found, according to legal researchers, was nothing short of a bombshell. Now, let me stop right here and say, some of you are thinking right now, oh boy, black helicopters, oh man. Listen, folks, there's some stuff going on out there that we know nothing about. And we just keep following along, just like those cows I mentioned earlier. What he found, this was legal research that he did now, not only was the 16th Amendment, the so-called income tax amendment, never ratified by the required number of states, he also discovered that the 17th Amendment wasn't ratified either. The 17th Amendment allows for U.S. senators to be elected by the citizens of the state. Prior to this amendment, U.S. senators were appointed by each state legislature. Benson published a two-part volume on the 16th Amendment, The Law That Never Was. He also published another work titled, Proof the 17th Amendment Was Never Ratified. Over the past 20 years, as a result of Benson's battle to expose the alleged fraud which occurred on these two amendments, Benson has refused to voluntarily pay income taxes. While he did spend time in prison, he fiercely fought battles against the government are legendary. Let me take a break here and we'll be back with this article.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're back. This is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in for Dr. John Coben, and I was reading an article that's called "Feds Call Court-Certified Documents a Theory in Bill Benson Case." Let me take up where I left off here. News with Views has now learned that the federal government has once again gone after Benson to, in his own words, shut down the truth from the American people. The government has filed an injunction seeking to force Benson to cease and desist from selling his Reliance defense package on income taxes, post a statement on his website announcing the government's injunction and demanding the names of anyone Benson has sold his Reliance defense package to relating the 16th Amendment. Sounds like censorship to me, doesn't it? Well, we can't censor anybody else, but we can censor guys like this. All right, let's continue. According to Benson, in a telephone interview, "The government is calling my documents a theory." Can you imagine that? "I have 17,000 documents that we call court certified, and the government refers to them as a theory." Benson indeed has the 17,000 Hart documents. He maintains proof his allegations that both the 16th and 17th Amendment were never ratified. His legal team in Milwaukee, the law offices of Robert G. Bernhoff, South Carolina, have now filed a defendant's motion to dismiss, plaintiff complaint, and motion for preliminary injunction for lack of subject matter jurisdiction and for failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. One of the most intriguing parts of the filing is that Benson's counsel, Jeffrey Dickstein, appears to be turning the table on the government and putting them in a position where, in order to prevail, the government must prove the 16th Amendment was ratified, something Benson steadfastly claims they cannot do, and states he has the documents to prove it, according to Benson's latest filing. As previously discussed, the United States cannot prevail as a matter of law unless it can prove Benson made or caused to be made false or fraudulent statements concerning the tax benefits to be derived from the entity, plan, or arrangement, and that he knew, or had reason to know, the statements were false or fraudulent. This requires the United States to prove the 16th Amendment was properly ratified. because if it were not properly ratified, Benson's statements would not be false or fraudulent. They would be true, and the United States' action would fail. On December the 21st, 2001, Phil Hart, who is now a member of the Idaho State Legislature, filed a petition of writ of certiorari with the United States Supreme Court on this very issue. The court refused to hear the case. The government has maintained for decades that the 16th Amendment was ratified. It is the legal basis for the income tax, and call any arguments to the contrary frivolous. Now, here's a person that's taken it upon himself, made all these, did all this research, has got all these 17,000 different documents. They've been court certified, and the government is calling it a theory. And I know there's been famous talk show hosts that say that the Supreme Court has already decided that the 16th Amendment is indeed law and is indeed legal and it is indeed constitutional. Yet here's a person that can prove otherwise, and they're calling his claims frivolous. Oh boy, I tell you, there's some serious stuff going on here that many of us don't know anything about. Now, let me read another related article, which is called The Discovery. Article 5 of the United States Constitution specifies the ratification process and requires 3/4 of the states to ratify any amendment proposed by Congress. There were 48 states in the American Union in 1913, meaning that affirmative action of 36 states was required for ratification. In January of 1913, Secretary of State Philander Knox issued a proclamation claiming that 38 states had ratified the amendment. In 1984, William J. Benson began a, this is Bill Benson, the one I was talking to you about earlier, began a research project never before performed to investigate the process of ratification of the 16th Amendment. After traveling to the capitals of the New England states and reviewing the journals of the state legislative bodies, he saw that many states had not ratified the amendment. Continuing his research at the National Archives in Washington, D.C., Bill Benson discovered his golden key. This damning piece of evidence is a 16-page memorandum from the solicitor of the Department of State, whose duty is the provision of legal opinions for the state of the Secretary of State. In this memorandum, sent to the Secretary of State, the solicitor of the Department of State lists the many errors he found in the ratification process. The four states listed below are among the 38 states that Philander Knox claims ratification from. The Kentucky Senate voted upon the resolution, but rejected it by a vote of 9 in favor and 22 opposed. The Oklahoma Senate amended the language of the 16th Amendment to have precisely the opposite meaning. The California Legislative Assembly never recorded any vote upon any proposal to adopt the amendment proposed by Congress. The state of Minnesota sent nothing to the Secretary of State in Washington. When his year-long project was finished at the end of 1984, Bill had visited every state capital and knew that not a single state had actually and legally ratified the proposal to amend the Constitution. 33 states engaged in the unauthorized activity of amending the language of the amendment proposed by Congress, a power the states do not possess. Well, let me stop right here, and I'll come back and finish this article. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax advantage growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we're back for our last segment of the program for this Thursday morning. This is Pastor Tony Romo sitting in for Dr. John Coben. And we hope that it's been somewhat informative, but not just informative. I hope it's been challenging to you, some of the things that we've addressed. And maybe, well, we don't have a whole lot of time. We still have time for a phone call or two. But if you don't, then you'll be able to call in tomorrow. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and finish up this last particular article. Let me back up just a little bit and cover that last paragraph. Now, we're talking about Bill Benson and the discovery of how he investigated all this having to do with the 16th Amendment and how it wasn't properly ratified. When his year-long project was finished at the end of 1984, Bill had visited every state capital and knew that not a single state had actually and legally ratified the proposal to amend the Constitution. 33 states engaged in the unauthorized activity of amending the language of the amendment proposed by Congress, a power the states do not possess. Since 36 states were needed for ratification, the failure of 13 to ratify would be fatal to the amendment, and this occurs within the major first three defects tabulated in defects in ratification of the 16th Amendment. Even if we were to ignore defects of spelling, capitalization, and punctuation, we would still have only two states which successfully ratified. Well, I find that to be shocking. How many years have we been having to do this now? 1913. It started as a pretty small amount, and probably most people didn't mind much paying into their income tax. But according to these article, or these two articles at least, one supporting the other, this has really been done unconstitutionally. Now, if you want to challenge that, I encourage you to go do your own research. Find out what actually happened. I know that you hear these world-renowned talk show hosts, and they simply just become very flippant in the process, and they say, well, it's been ratified, we don't want to discuss it, and they move on. That's a very common neoconservative kind of approach to things that in essence, what they're saying, look, don't bother me with all this new information. I've already got my mind set up. It's made up, and just like concrete. Once it's set up, it's over. You can't do anything with it. So there's all these different things that are going on in America. There's other things we'll be talking about tomorrow. But as we wind her down, I want to again encourage you to consider carefully, prayerfully and carefully, your involvement in this particular ministry. This program is one of them. There'll be other programs being implemented. This is the 10th week of the Tyranny Response Network. This program that is hosted by Dr. John Coben is the only live program we have so far. There'll be others that'll be put on the air that'll become live programs as well. But it takes money. And I know that when we first heard about this particular program, our church decided, we discussed it, and we decided we were going to become supporters of the program. So we took it on as a mission. Now, I know that's a little unusual to many churches, you know, because we think about the typical traditional kind of thing, you know, and which is not wrong in and of itself, of course, where we want to send money to missionaries and so forth. And look, sometimes you support missionaries that you don't even know what they're up to. I know many things about many missionaries that were being supported and come to find out that they were not on the up and up. They didn't believe certain doctrines and so forth, yet we were supporting them. Listen, this program here, you can just tune in every morning and know what you're supporting. And if you do that, and if you're not in agreement and you think that maybe now you shouldn't support it, well, then all it takes is a daily listening in of this particular program and whatever other programs will come along later. Again, I encourage you pastors that you might consider this carefully. Talk to your congregations. Tell them what it's all about. Get them to listen in. Give them a couple of 2 or 3 weeks to listen in and find out what this is all about. I want to challenge you now that we need to start making a difference when it comes to these things here. We're not making a difference. We're getting all caught up in all these little programs that are being put out by neo-evangelicals that really are not impacting anyone but their particular dynasties that they're looking to set up for themselves. And so when we address these issues, when we support a program like this, we're impacting people. We really are. We're going to be challenging throughout the weeks the Christian, but all other folks too. People that are not Christians can listen in, of course, and they'll be challenged and they'll consider some things that perhaps hadn't considered before. But primarily I'm concerned about the Christian community. I don't think we're doing what we ought to be doing. We haven't been doing it for many, many years. We've fallen into our little ruts, and we're not making an impact. And our ruts have gotten so deep that even the tops of our heads won't show up anymore. No one even knows that we're around. We need to start turning this thing back around. It's going to take, you know what it's going to take? It's going to take a little bit of repentance, too. I know that when I realized who I was supporting, and I'm talking about George W. Bush, listen, I was the chaplain of our particular little precinct there. I would start out the meetings with prayer, say all these wonderful things about all these different Republican candidates and so forth. George W. Bush being one of them, supported his re-election campaign for governor in Texas and so forth. And it was only until after the first year as president when I realized I was supporting the wrong person. Now, I could do what a lot of Christians are doing today. They're just simply not listening. They'll say, no, this is the greatest thing since post-toasties. You know, we're going to continue to support him. Folks, I invite you, I encourage you, I challenge you to go and check it out. Check out. You know, I mean, a lot of the people are listening to what he is saying instead of to looking at what he is doing. So we need to make sure that we understand what's actually going on. We need to look at what he is actually doing. All right? So if you have any questions or you want to comment, of course, it's too late today to comment, but tomorrow you can call in and make your comments or have any questions. If anything that we're saying this morning can challenge you or inspires you or gets you to where you want to participate in it, then I will give you the opportunity. And until then, again, let me remind you, we're having our Institute of the Constitution on April the 4th at South Point Baptist Church. If you want to participate in that, call me at 295-0460. That's my own home phone number. And we'll get you on the list, and we'll expect you to come. In the meantime, I'm going to encourage you to chase after some of these issues we talked about this morning. And we're going to have to sign off this morning, but we'll be back tomorrow morning, and we'll see you then.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning, saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.